Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Joining me on today's show, this dude knows literally everybody, and I feel like I know everybody. He really knows everybody. Elliot Garms, CEO of Human Predictions. If you listen to the whole podcast, you'll understand why I say this. I'm going to lead with the fact that he dropped out of high school and started this business and has been nothing but successful. He knows some of the biggest players in town because, and I also relate to this, while everybody else was out like moving downtown and dating and drinking and partying, I kind of got that done and it was out of the way like years before all of my friends. So I was when they were all transitioning into Party Town USA, I was like, I've been doing this since I was 16. Like, I'm done with this. I started developing relationships and things with people decades ago. So when I say I've been doing this for like 20 years, I legit have been doing this for 20 years because it just was a natural fit for me. Elliot's a very similar story. He got to know everybody early on. And anyone who knows anything, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And this is definitely a situation that I think that relates to, particularly in the recruiting space. So great conversation there. We'll make sure that we also plug the fact that congratulations goes out to Neil Sales Griffin, who was running for mayor at one point. Did not win, but he is now taking over for the managing director position for Techstar. So kudos to you, my friend. And before we go to the conversation with Elliot, I've got to do the check in with the Startup Inbox, which is brought to you by ActiveCampaign. See why 65,000 businesses use ActiveCampaign for their marketing by signing up at activecampaign.com/technori. Get your first 2 months for free. We use it. You should too. Work-life balance, Beth Smart. An entrepreneur, it seems like their work bleeds into so many facets of their life. How important is it to dedicate time away from the job and running the company? There's a hashtag going around that, I don't know, I didn't start it, but I definitely jumped on it, and people are recognizing it's that hashtag 996. That means working 9 to 9, 6 days a week. Listen, I am the perfect example of figuring out how to do what I want to do professionally and personally by working in my personal life, including my wife and child, into my professional life, going to do whatever those things are. I'll get into that in 1 second. But here's the preface. 996. If you want to work for, start, or be on a rocket ship, there are certain things that just have to go. You have to work, and by work doesn't mean you're plugged into to your computer and you're at the office, but it's on the forefront of your mind, not in the back of your mind, but something that is tangibly, actively at the top of your mind, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., 6 days a week minimum. If you are not, you're not going to succeed. If you don't want to be living a life like that, then get off the ship, because it is not going to go where you think it's going to go if you're putting in any less effort. If that is not your full focus, you're working at the wrong job, or you started the wrong job. And I say work for because if you work at a company that, you know, Uber, or you work for Amazon, not just before, even now, that company's still a rocket ship. If you don't like the way it goes, get off the ship. So that's my little soapbox. But what I want to tell you is you can work it into your life. You absolutely can. You can schedule your family vacations around a trip to go to Dreamforce in San Francisco. You can have a kid go, and as a kid, I travel with my dad every summer to all of his business meetings. And that was my time with my dad. Like, that's what we did. We went to business meetings. You might think that sucks, but that was the opportunity I had. And because of it, I went in like 35 states by the time I was 10. You can take your wife on a private special date night, or your husband on a private special date night, by going to, you know, Momentum Awards and having cocktail hours with your friends and your peers. You can integrate. Life can be integrated. The reality is you have to, like anything else, have moderation. You can't get so slammed at these events that you can't work the next day, because you got to be able to be 100% on the next day, but also have had enough fun that you got your cocktails in, you got to have a good time, you got to shoot the shit. And here's my last little piece of this, and this is not something that has to be the way, because for me, I have, like, my family is separate. You know, I come home, when I'm done with work and I go home, I try to be attentive to them and not to work, although I still have it on my mind, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it. Here's the thing, though. You really have to be careful about being okay with the fact that a lot of your friends are going to leave you, because you're just not going to be there the way that friends are typically there. And so you're going to find that a lot of your peers and your best friends are going to become your lawyer, in my case, or co-founders and founders of people that you get to run around with. They're the people whose lives tend to mirror your own. You relate to them. A lot of your current and past friends are going to become just that, past. And you got to be okay with that. Not for everybody, but for a lot of people, that's been the story. So I think that you need to, if you want to be on a rocket ship and do some crazy shit, then you need to be okay with the fact that, that's going to change your life, and that's on that hashtag 996. If you're okay with that, then you'll be good to go. But just know that you can always work harder to blend your lives together. So with that said, speaking of all of that, what a great introduction to Elliot Garms, who's the CEO and founder of Human Predictions. He is an example of literally blending work, life, party, balance into a very, very, very successful career that a lot of people probably wouldn't have predicted. But there's the pun in it, right? Human predictions. So here's my conversation with Elliot Garms. So I think the best way to start this conversation, this is super free flowing. You'll get the gist of this quickly. The last guest you might've seen come out of here was Stuart Frankel from Narrative Science. There's been this, and I want to take a deep dive with you in this because I think it's super fascinating. We've had many of the founders of like Civis Analytics and other things here. And the conversation always starts off with me saying, of course data is important and everything should be data driven and yada, yada. But we always end up at the end of the conversation like, well, yes, true. However, half of our job at our company is convincing people that they have to use it. And then they don't use it. And then we have to find a new way to serve them the data so they can make data-driven decisions, but not how you would think we should do this, which is to say, I give you a load of data and you're like, okay, but they never use it.
Yep.
With your company, how have you been able to sort of attack that? What is the big dream for you? Aside from Human Predictions, like what is the thought process as a person who's trying to serve up data? What are your thoughts on this?
I think recruiting's in a weird state right now where a lot of the tech industry isn't fond of recruiters, and I think that's largely because they're abusing things like email to send a lot of automated spam, if you will.
That's an understatement.
Exactly. And so that's, you know, causing a lot of people to ignore email and not pay attention to the inbound recruiter stuff that they maybe once would look at more.
Yeah.
And so I think we're honing in on let's help recruiters use this data to be more human and have more time to be with candidates, building trust, building relationships. There's so much public data about the candidates out there. If we can help the recruiters focus on people that are more likely looking for opportunities, it seems like it's going to help reduce a lot of that spam and help them have more genuine human interactions. And so I think a big misconception with what we're doing is we're not trying to replace recruiters at all. We're trying to say good recruiters do, say, these 10 things, many of which are very human intensive, but some of which a computer is much better at, like checking every engineer in Chicago's personal website and letting us know who's updating those. The people updating their personal websites tend to be
looking
in motion. And so if we can help recruiters hone in on those folks, we're going to reduce a lot of the spam that the tech industry doesn't like and help hopefully make better meaningful connections amongst humans. And so, yeah.
No, I agree with you. I think that the recruiters have there's several problems that they're trying to address, I think, within the tech, specifically the tech sector. But I find with recruiters a lot of times and this kind of goes to your point, but the data that they, and I don't even want to use data, it's just information, which is data, but it's stuff you're scrolling and you're finding. They tend to take the path of least resistance, and it tends not to show well. So like, if you paid any attention to my profile at all, you would see that I'm not a candidate at all, nor would I be looking. And you hone in on a couple of like places that you look, and you take the story in your own head and you're like, oh, this is what it is. And you email me with this stuff that's like, it actually looks bad. It's like PR people are the same thing. Like, so I don't want to make sure we're equal opportunity hating. PR companies do the same thing. The reason that the PR industry is dead, or not dead, but like is struggling so mightily, is not just that there's less journalists to write the stories. It's that the approach that they're taking is not even trying to learn about their clients and what they do and how to sell them in a way that actually makes sense, and also trying to understand what the publications and places and media outlets are looking for. They're just like, brr, brr, here's all this stuff. And I think that kind of to the point that Stuart was trying to make with Narrative Science, the point that that we had with Civis and now you, is that you've got to, like, as much as you've got to figure out a way to get that data and put together an informed output that you can give them, you've got to figure out a way to like sculpt it and shape it for them too, which is something that I think is a is a unique kind of new, I don't want to say, it's probably not to you, but to me, it's a unique observation.
Yeah.
That now all of a sudden it's not good enough to just have it. You've got to have it in a way that I can use it without having to use any of my brain power.
Yeah. It's a double-edged sword. I think the problem you're talking about, I kind of refer to as buzzword bingo.
Yeah.
Where the recruiters aren't really, you know, I think you're giving them too much credit where they're not even seeing these pieces of information and creating their own narrative from that. They're literally just searching for anyone that has this on a profile. I'll send them this generic message, and that's spam. And that's why a bunch of the tech community, the tech vertical, is not excited to talk to recruiters, because they tend to not have any true specialization. They're just playing buzzword bingo, and really this transactional recruiting approach, which is on the opposite side of the spectrum of relationship driven recruiting, which is much more of the world my business partner and I come from. And we kind of joke with Human Predictions, we're the only recruiting tool telling our users to send less email instead of more. But that's been the trend for the last 10 years is email. Now we could automate everything and play this transactional game.
We could make it non-personal even more.
Exactly. And maybe that worked at the very beginning, but everyone has wised up to that, engineers especially. I tell a lot of our customer, engineers have the best spam filter that exists.
Yes.
And so do we. Like, when you get email, you know what's a real email and what was an email campaign that is dripping your inbox.
I thank God for Superhuman right now. This is the one. I don't want to get into the whole Superhuman email thing. If you're into it, you're into it. If you're not, you know why. I love that I can tag one time, and you could be a spam person or you could be a real person, which one and the same sometimes, and I can just put you into a box, and every single time you send me an email, goes right to that box. I don't even see it.
Yep.
I don't even see the headline. It doesn't matter. You could tell me my family's house is on fire. I'll miss it because you've proven me to be a not trusted source.
Yep.
And that to me, I think is a huge, it's a big shift for marketing. I mean, forget about just recruiting. It's a huge shift for like how we communicate with people in the future. It's like, I was talking to a kid the other day who is a young founder, and he is talking to a bunch of very large companies, like multi-billion dollar companies. And he's like, yeah, I meet with the CEO and I get his Instagram handle. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Like, you don't get his email? He's like, no, I don't give a shit about his email. Like, they're on Instagram, they're taking pictures of their family, like, they respond to it. I message him back and forth on Instagram. It's like, I know he is going to take that. He wouldn't give it to me unless he was okay to talk to me. Now, I take that and I treat it right, right? So I don't send him shit. I just talk to him when I want to. And it's, I think it goes a long way to explain why a company like yours not only exists, but why it excels.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about sort of your co-founder and the company and the whole thing. How did this all come to be?
Yeah, so my co-founder is a really cool dude, has a lot of deep tech recruiting experience here in Chicago. He, in the 90s, was early on at a company called ThoughtWorks, where he had very strong opinions about how they were interviewing or recruiting. I think he was there.
That's ironic, right?
Yeah.
ThoughtWorks.
Yeah, exactly.
He had a lot of strong opinions about ThoughtWorks. I bet he did.
Yeah. Well, he was there around 30 people, and with those strong opinions, kind of was the first person to kind of take lead on what they were doing in terms of people operations, both hiring, but also internally, how they were giving more growth opportunity, more education, more mentoring and stuff like that. And ThoughtWorks is really well known for a lot of that stuff. Yeah. And a lot of it was stuff my partner put in place many years ago. And so when I was a kid, I grew up in a family of recruiters, hated school, got into recruiting pretty young. And as I was a kid coming up in Chicago, a lot of the engineers would be like, do you know this guy H? And I would say, no, I don't, but I keep hearing about him. Who is this guy H? And he was running ThoughtWorks at the time. Later in my career, he went to DRW Trading here in town, where he helped build really impressive engineering team there. And as a young recruiter, I was hearing a lot about H, and also like, what is DRW Trading? No one will ever leave that company. The engineers never respond to my recruiting emails. And so I was always really fascinated by this H guy, as well as the companies he had worked at. And I think around 2011, 2012, a mentor of mine, Kevin Taylor, who founded Optiva, sold Optiva to Groupon. And Groupon's lead recruiter, Carrie McComb, at the time was leaving, and they were recruiting H to join and run tech recruiting. H is my partner. His real name's John Hundreiser. Everyone in town knows him as H. And so Kevin Taylor came to me and said, hey man, you're self-taught, college dropout, grew up in a family of recruiters. you should consider coming to work at Groupon because we're going to be hiring this guy H to run tech recruiting here, and I think you could learn a lot from him. And I was like, man, I've been hearing so much about this H guy.
I have to.
So I talked to a few of my other mentors, and they all encouraged me to do it. So I went to Groupon, no offense to Groupon, but really to work under H.
Yeah.
And we hit it off there, and I learned a lot from him. And so we met at Groupon. I was later recruited by Kevin Taylor's business partner, Dave Hoover, out of Groupon to help start Dev Bootcamp in Chicago. Yep. And so I went to
H. I have lunch with Dave coming up here in the next like week or two. So this is like my little world coming together.
Awesome. So Dave's a dear friend and definitely a mentor to me. And so I went to H and I said, H, I've loved working with you, but I've got an opportunity to go co-found Dev Bootcamp in Chicago, but I don't want to burn any bridges with you. I want to work together again. And he encouraged me to take that opportunity. So I left Groupon, went to Dev Bootcamp for a few years. After Dev Bootcamp was acquired by Kaplan, H and I linked back up. I reached out to him to see what he was up to. He had left Groupon, and him and I formed a boutique consulting business where we were placing engineers and doing some consulting around town. And it was that business that led to us inventing human predictions for our own problems originally.
And then spin that out as your own, exactly. Your own business.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, you mentioned obviously that growing up in a family of recruiters, and I was just talking about this. This is a completely stupid side story. We ordered sushi last night, my wife and I, and the person pulls up to the driveway, and I literally immediately, like, first he called and his number was like Infostrat. It was some kind of like telemarketing type, like whatever. Gets out of the car. Everything about this dude just said phone call pile machine, like just all day long. And I couldn't help but strike a conversation with him. Of course, it was true. He's like, yo, dude, ever since I was in high school, like my dad was a salesman, my grandfather was a salesman. Like I grew up, and this is what I was going to do, is like I went to college at DuPage for like a year and was like, I drive Uber and I do Grubhub. I didn't even want to get into why not Uber Eats. That's a whole other thing. He's like, I do Uber and I do Grubhub and I do telemarketing all day long on the phone. He's like, I crush it. I've been making six figures for 6 years. I make money when I'm parked. I make money when I'm driving. And it dawned on me that like, there's this type of person that exists. And we think of like the sort of eccentric technologist, and that's like its own thing. But there's a certain type of person who is just totally cued in to understanding how to connect the dots for other people.
Yep.
And it seems like you are 100% like that mold. Like
I'd like to think so, but I think I've always felt much more like an EQ person than an IQ person. Not that I'm dumb, but I just have always, the big thing with me in school was like my favorite thing to do is be like, why are we doing it this way? There's a better way. And that didn't do well.
But that's not how the standardized tests will judge you. Exactly. So you're out.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was lucky. I had two older brothers. I was pretty confident. I was very entrepreneurial as a kid. Whenever I wanted a new, you know, I had go-peds as a kid.
Yeah, of course.
So to get go-peds, I had a lot of like lawn care businesses, garbage, you know, doing, whenever I wanted something, I would just print out flyers. My dad's found
make the
recently.
Money to figure out how to, I had a mentor who, well, he shouldn't be because he's in a bad place now. And like he used his powers for evil. But he did teach me something that I thought was really interesting. It was like, if you in the early stages, if you ever want to figure out what you want in life or what you need to do, there's nothing like you're lost. There's nothing that's got him in trouble. So I'll try not to get in trouble for myself. I write down, make a list of the things that you want. And you don't have to make a list, or you could just itemize as it comes up. But how much money do you need to make to get that? And how can you nearest yourself with the least startup capital needed, make that amount of money and just do it?
Yeah.
Like just, it's not hard. Like it's, you can have all these excuses. I need to raise. I need this. It's bullshit. Pick your goal and go get it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was a big law of attraction kid. I made a vision board in high school, and I really believe in, you know, just something as simple as if you want something, asking yourself every day, how could I get it? And trying really hard to come up with new creative ideas. I believe in that stuff.
I totally do. I think we put way too much in school. Part of it's the education. I don't want to go down that track where I shit on all the schools, but I will. My wife is a high school chemistry teacher, so I try to keep myself, off the couch. But the bottom line is, we're taught, and maybe it's like strategic, we're taught to follow a line and to like do this and this, and you're like, to waste time, like the short end. We're taught to waste time.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, what is your goal? What are the things that, what are like the three things that have to be accomplished in order to have any shot at this goal?
Yep.
Let's focus on those. Yep. Let's not worry about the little shit that's going to get you all the way in. Like you get in your boat and you take it off, you know, towards the Americas. Now, whether you land on North America or not is really not the point. Like once you're close enough to see it, then you can figure out how to get on the land.
Yeah.
And I think we take too much time figuring out how to get on the land, and we forget all about the fact that you still have to like row.
Yep.
Interesting. From your standpoint on this, like where do you think you stick in recruiting only with this? Do you see application for other things with this?
I think there's definitely a lot of other application. I think we've been very successful thus far by ignoring everything else and saying, hey, we come from tech recruiting. Let's really do this well before trying to expand into other areas. So the goal is definitely to go into other areas, and we're starting to explore that lightly. But I think because it's really what makes us different, data is overwhelming. And so just focusing on tech and tech folks and public data around those people, I think it's, you know, to kind of where we started this conversation, everyone's talking about big data. The next wave is what do you do with your data?
Yeah.
And can you actually act on it?
Actual data application.
Exactly. And so I think trying to be everything for everyone with a big data or a big data set is very challenging. And so I think the more we can have a narrow focus on proving the value of this application for something as specific as tech recruiting will allow us to expand it into other things even better.
So going back to a comment you made referring to when you're in school, like there's a better way to do this. The reverse engineering is a theme for me. Going back to school for myself, it was always like, this might sound stupid, but rather than learn what the teacher was telling me, it was easier for me to not pay attention and do whatever the hell I wanted to. And then when the test day came, I knew you were going to use multiple choice because you're lazy. And so I would just reverse engineer A, B, C, or D from whatever equation you put there. And I'd be done about 25 minutes before the rest of the kids, and I would be out on a smoke break.
Yep.
I've always looked at things that way. I suspect a lot of engineers and a lot of very smart founders are very similar to that. If you could give advice to those people about what to look for from recruiting outreaches that are actually like that will identify a good quality recruiting fit, what would it be?
I think it goes back to the spam detection. I mean, what I strive to do, it's really easy to send 1,000 emails, but they tend to be meaningless. But when you send two and you say, hey, Scott, I saw you're really active in this Ruby group and that you had worked at this company that built a big, you know, consumer-facing e-commerce site. We're building an e-commerce site. We're doing Ruby. Your experience seems very in line. I'd love a chance to introduce myself. It also looks like we know a few people in common. Dave Hoover said he was having lunch with you soon. That's when people are like, okay, this is for me.
Yeah, it's close.
And I want to talk to people that are going to take time to write me something like that. And I think companies I talk to, I say there's a lot of risk hiring these wild agency recruiters that are going to spam everyone in town because it's going to hurt your brand. When you get a recruiting message, it tends to be foreshadowing of what it's like at that company. And if it's very genuine and well-researched and accurate, I think that is a good sign that it might be worth your time. If it's, hey, Scott, we're hiring a line cook. Love to talk to you. I mean, because of tech recruiting, I get a lot of tech jobs. I've never written a line of code in my life, but because of some of the buzzwords on my LinkedIn.
You got to see some of the shit that comes in my inbox.
I believe it, man.
Because we talk to people of all, you know, so like you really could, if you don't do any research, you really don't know what the hell we do. I do. I am me and I don't know what the hell I do. So I can only imagine, you know, but it's so true. How are you guys pulling in information that makes it better than the rest?
I think one of the big things we're doing, I mean, first and foremost, we're adamant on only touching public information.
Yep.
And with tech, there's a large open source community where people are contributing code and projects to help one another. And so there's this very large public ecosystem that we can observe. The main thing we're doing differently is refreshing the data on a weekly 7 to 14 day basis. I think we're arriving at a point where static human data is commoditized or soon to be commoditized. It's no longer hard to know who the engineers are, what their title is, what their email is. That's why they're all getting spammed. What we're doing is watching what they're up to over time. What technologies are they getting into recently? Those are probably technologies that if they are going to make a move, are ones we should talk to them about. What groups are they publicly in? Maybe we should be in those groups. You know, I think, again, a lot of our philosophy around recruiting is very community, very relationship driven. And so the tooling we build tries to facilitate that. So, I think that is a long-winded answer to your question.
No, I agree with you. I think the other side of this coin, of course, is the recruiters. And you've sort of throughout this conversation mentioned all the things that they do wrong. What are some of the things that you think that the recruiters themselves should do in order to make this a better success rate for them, aside from the data?
Yeah, I think good recruiters are like industry analysts. They have deep relationships. A lot of recruiting is ambulance chasing, knowing, hey, there's some drama over here, or a bunch of people are leaving over here, or she's taking over as CTO here, and there's going to be a lot of people joining there. You know, so a lot of recruiters fall short because they're not learning about the industry they work or the communities that the people they're trying to place are active in. They're playing buzzword bingo on LinkedIn all day. I think a good recruiter is an industry analyst. They know every company in town. They know why certain companies are better for you than others based on what you're looking for. And they really are committed. You know, I think I'm good at recruiting because most of my career is having coffee, lunch, and beers with either engineers or people that are hiring engineers.
It's a rough life, isn't it?
Very
rough.
Our
lives suck.
Yeah, man. It's, but you know, a lot of the programmers I work with, they see my calendar and they're like, sheesh. If I had to have anything close to that many meetings, I would.
But that's also, I mean, the different type of
absolutely.
Personality.
So
I'm sort of like in the middle with that. Like I get the benefit of games and drinks and parties and all this. But then I'm also kind of a very introverted person, actually. Like the show lets me be a character and a couple cocktails and I can be whatever you want me to be. But for the most part, I'm sort of like down the line. So like I try to jam it into a certain number of days. And it's funny you said, I keep laughing over the buzzword bingo because I think it's hilarious. We had a gentleman who was on the recruiting side, is a little bit older, and he was like, do kids still call it alpha? Do you know what alphabet soup is? This is innovation alphabet soup. You just pick out all the little letters in there and that's sort of who you are. And it's like 5 years later, I hear this again. It's a different term, but buzzword bingo, that one I think we'll be using. Finally, before we go out of this, I would love to ask you just as your own, listen, you're a person who's come out of not unfamiliar circumstance for founders, that they dropped out or they did this or they didn't take the traditional route. Most of the successful founders usually don't do well in tradition. But what has been something that's either surprising or maybe not surprising that's happened to you since you started your journey to this point that you have learned and are like, if I had to point my finger at one thing that's got me this far, what's the North Star? What's that thing?
It's just a reaction. I'm sure there's a better answer to this question, but it's been very interesting and ironic how much the dropout, like on the high school side of things, it was like the worst thing, but it's really been like people like it.
Of course,
it's an interesting story. And I think it, you know, it's so the core of everyone needs to go to school. There's a lot of great things about school. And
sure,
I have a lot of friends.
If you're built for it.
Yeah. But I think it's been surprising to see, you know, the buttoned up CEO mentor of mine that I was ashamed with actually, you know, will lead an intro with I'm a drop, you know, like
yeah.
So people that I would think as a high school student would never give me the time of day because I was a dropout. In many cases are the people that love that fact about
America
me
loves a comeback story.
Yeah.
And it's like the ultimate, but the funny thing is like, it's actually not a comeback because he didn't disappear. I was like, no, I stopped wasting time.
And it's funny, man. I was kind of the more of like the party social guy in high school. A lot of my more academic, good grade friends that went off to 4-year school, they came back to Chicago.
Drank themselves silly.
They'd been partying for 4 years, and I'd been pounding the pavement here, and yeah. I had a bunch of relationships with all the companies in town because I've been...
And they're stuck to the floor of hang-ups.
Exactly.
very cool. This has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you taking the time to come in and talk about this. Where do people go to use and to learn more about what you're doing, the business, follow you, all that stuff?
Definitely. I think the best place would be our website, which is humanpredictions.io. If anyone's particularly interested or would like to see a demo, they can reach out to me directly. My email is Elliot, ELLIOTT, at humanpredictions.io. We're on Twitter, at humanprediction. Twitter doesn't allow that extra character, so we had to drop the S, but Check us out on Twitter. We're on LinkedIn. We're on all the social media sites, but email me if you're interested and I'll take good care of you.
Awesome. This has been a lot of fun. Thanks, Elliot.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Of course. You can learn more about upcoming Technori events, investment opportunities. Check out the blog features at technori.com, where you can subscribe to the newsletter, download this podcast and many, many others on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social at Technori. You can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.